For God so loved the world. It's this beautiful declaration that rightly is part of this most famous, if not the most famous, the most well-known verse in all of Scripture, John 3:16. It's this great declaration of the intimacy of God. The whole reason that we're part of this movement, this experience of Christianity, is not because God is absent. It's not because God hates us. It's not because God is standing simply in judgment over everything. But that God is part of it all. That God longs for us to experience His love, His mercy, His truth. That we might be able to worship, not because God has just got this extraordinary ego and needs to be placated, but because it's the only way that we are complete. It's the only way that we're able to experience life the way we're meant to. This wonder, this awe, this being caught up in this mystery that is so deep and so powerful and so much greater than us. That if we just get stuck on this little basic level, we never grow, we never flourish, we never experience the fullness of life. And so this call to worship, this call to experience and encounter God, this is at the heart of what it is to be followers of the Lord. This whole experience of being part of this world that God so loved by sending Jesus, by allowing us to experience that grace and that gift. And it's that wonder that has always been there. God, across the pages of the Hebrew Scriptures, is always saying, I will be your God, and you will be my people. This longing that is there. Of course, some of them got it. Some of the great figures of the past, some of the patriarchs, were able to understand this, were able to enter into that covenant relationship. Some of them were indeed able to set aside all of the other things that distract us in order to be loved by God and to return that love in worship. But some of them didn't. I mean, this question of love, that God so loved the world. Well, how do we love? If you want to express your love, how do we undertake that? And so if you've got this person sitting in this isolated way, how do we tell them that we love? How do we tell them that they are loved? I mean, we could shout it from a distance. We could just send them a text message or something. But there's a power in that intimacy of life, the power of actually going up to them, embracing them, kissing them, offering that declaration of love. And so it's the same with God. Yes, God was able to demonstrate this love at a distance, but he didn't want to do that. But so often we continue to lock God up. We continue to leave him seated in this highest heaven, there on a throne, away from us, away from our ordinary lives, away from our ordinary experiences. When in fact, the Trinity, the gift of the Trinity, is this community, this relationship of love that lies at the heart of our faith, this offer, this invitation into this intimacy of life and love. Because God has always been longing for us to experience that. God has always been wanting us to share in that intimacy of life and union with Him. But to the extent that Christianity, you know, we give this mystery of the Trinity lip service, at least, you know, we mark ourselves with the sign of the cross and we say all of these things that seem Trinitarian. And yet, so often, the truth is that if we were to strip away all of that, if we were to say, okay, we're now just going to have Christianity as another one of the monotheistic religions, we're only going to continue to honor this God that we experience in the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit, nothing much would change. Not much of actual experience, not much of actual practice would change. The Trinity is there, but even though it's at the heart, we claim, of our faith, it's often really as a periphery, because we continue to let God be somewhere else. We let God be locked away in that throne room of heaven, rather than in that intimacy of life. Because we're quite happy to let God sit in judgment over the world, because we want to sit in judgment over the world. And yet, the intimacy of the Trinity, the intimacy of that declaration that we have as our gospel, "For God so loved the world," involves absolutely this need for God to be part of the world, to be there in the very heart of the world, not separated, not distant, not absent, but caught up. And we're invited to be part of that same divine dance. We're invited to be part of that same experience, because Jesus offered himself on the cross as that sign of that intimacy. He wants to draw close to us. God indeed is available to us, and there was no greater way that God could show that longing, that desire for us, for our salvation, for our return of love, than in opening his arms on the cross to say there's nothing that he won't do in order to draw near to us, in order for us to share in that life. But the greatest, perhaps, gift of the Trinity is the dynamic reality of it. This gift that reminds us that God is not in this splendid isolation, as much as we want to let him be there. But there is this divine dance, there is this movement and this momentum in God. The love automatically involves this dynamism, that we're invited to be part of this reality. We're invited to be part of this experience, that the Holy Spirit wants to be part of our lives. The Holy Spirit wants to be as close as our very soul. But all of it involves our cooperation. Nothing just happens by a magic act of the will of God, that we are part of this to the extent and to the degree that we make ourselves, that we open ourselves to this reality, that we let this Trinitarian God impact upon us, that we let the love of God slowly begin to melt our hearts, slowly begin to change us, slowly begin to call us deeper into this reality. Because as John proclaims today in the gospel, this is not about morality. In the Gospel of John, there's almost nothing about sin in terms of morality, breaking laws or rules or regulations. John's not interested in any of that at all. All he wants us to know, the only thing that matters in the Gospel of John, is simply belief. Will we accept God? Will we let God through our defenses? Will we allow space for God to be worshipped in our hearts and in our lives? That's when everything changes. It's not about morality, it's about belief. It's about this opening, this invitation that God offers to us to trust in him, to truly let God love us. And if we do, if we're part of that dance, if we allow that love of the Trinity, if we allow ourselves to be caught up in that same experience of love and life that is already there within God, then everything changes. Then we're invited into this incredible gift of life and love. Let's allow the Trinitarian God to call us out of that static experience, that static encounter, and allow ourselves to be swept off our feet by this love of grace and peace.